Hello, football fans. Match day something or rather is behind us. We are down to our semi-finals. This is the Soccer Central Podcast. James Sharman here alongside Thomas Dobby and Brendan Dunlop. Hello, fellas.
All right, lads.
How you doing, man? It always impresses me how you're able to roll the R in my name. I don't know anyone else that does that.
Brendan.
I'm also impressed that he doesn't know what match day it is. That's good. He still started with it. Yeah. Am I sitting close enough for you punters?
I think so, yeah. It's not for me. It's for the audience. Okay. Lucas Pancari out there can't tweet that we're screwing up in the tech department. Just got an explanation as to the board, if I can just enlighten the viewers, how it's rewired completely opposite of how it's supposed to be.
How many jobs are you doing?
I'm all over the place. I think on TV the other day I said listeners and you corrected me to viewers. Or was that in here?
I have no idea.
It happened at some point.
He's doing
back to the show. You run the ship here.
That's for sure. Okay, let's start with what just happened, shall we? Craziness. Holland. The Netherlands against Costa Rica. Let's start with what happened in the 90 minutes. Not very much.
Moving on.
Yeah. Costa Rica bow out, and yes, lovely story. Well done. Flew the flag for CONCACAF. Now go home. Right? My God, I've never seen a team in my life so obviously play for penalties.
You're angry about this. The whole way up here, you're very angry about this Costa Rican. But I get it, and I know where you're coming from, and it's, anti-football play. What do you want them to do?
No. I understand. Right? I understand why they were defensive. I understand, what they were up against and how they got that far. But in other games, they showed a little bit more urgency.
Well, against Greece, they got walked over for a large part of that and had their keeper to, thank for getting them here. This is a World Cup quarterfinal.
Against Uruguay, against Italy.
It gave them the best.
They were in those games, I thought they played much better than we saw today. And although they were clearly defensive in those games and they very much relied on the counterattack, they at least, attacked with more fluidity and more regularity.
Sure. I mean, they didn't even get a corner kick for 119 minutes. You're right. It's funny because in meeting with you guys later and seeing your anger spewed all over your face,
it's not really that anger.
I thought, I thought, wow, there was, before they went to penalties, Costa Rica had a couple chances, it felt like, to win it. In thinking back, maybe it was just in the end, the Dutch are all tired. I think that what more do you, to go back to Dobby's point, what more do you want?
It doesn't bother me. You give yourself the best chance to get to a World Cup semifinal, getting to penalties. They give themselves a 50-50 chance, or maybe less, because Tim Krul will talk about that, I'm sure.
That is as your goal from the opening whistle. You know what, boys? Let's just kill it off. Sit back, not pressure.
If they tried to play toe-to-toe, they would have lost 5-1.
120 minutes,
they
man.
They played toe-to-toe, they would have lost 5-1.
No, I'm not saying play the toe-to-toe. Defend. Against Italy and Uruguay, they defended, but they still countered far more often.
Doesn't bother me.
Far more often. And, I mean, the Dutch were hardly great today either. I mean, they were like out of ideas. Like, well, what do we do now? We've got the ball. They had no creativity, and that's been the issue with this team. You know, they haven't got that guy in that number 10 spot, for example. They've got some great strikers. Mm. Robben and RVP. Obviously, RVP was off today, I thought. But
how does he miss that?
I don't know.
How does he miss that?
Was it cramp and his leg failed him?
Oh, man, that was unbelievable. Of all the strikers in the world you want in that position, you'd pick him 9 times out of 10.
Yeah, it was amazing. I thought Snyder came on towards late in the game when he was pushing far higher up in the pitch. You know, he's been a deep-lying playmaker for the entire tournament. A very different role to what he's used to. And more of a terrier and a pest, actually, at times. But, yeah, given more of a free rein late, he showed what he can do. And maybe had that happened earlier, they would have unlocked that 10 men behind the ball. It was 10 men behind the ball.
Sure.
You just love your Costa Rica, don't you?
I don't know. I don't love them. It's just, again, it's the same argument I'm going to make, but what do you want them to do? And it's, if that
try
were...
Try and score a goal occasionally.
They almost did. They almost stole a goal before penalties.
From 90 to 120, it was quite entertaining. That was much better.
Yeah.
I'll give them that much. Because the Dutch were knackered.
How about the Tim Krul move? I wanted it to backfire on him.
So did I.
But how is it really backfire if it doesn't save any? The keeper in a shootout can only really be a hero. You can't ever blame a keeper if the other team goes 5-for-5 because you're not expected to save them. You know, they should score. So it really couldn't backfire, I guess, in a sense. But of course it works out, right? And he saves two and he guessed right every single one as well. Yeah. He obviously had done the research. It was a master stroke. I mean, get to the final.
How big are Van Gaal's balls?
Oh,
how big?
They're big balls.
Like we're talking boulders here, right?
Coconuts.
Yeah. Bigger than coconuts.
Bigger
boulders.
Than watermelons.
Perhaps.
Pumpkins? Right. Did you say boulders?
Boulders. That would be... Like big rocks.
I know what a boulder is. Well, I didn't think you were talking about the place in Colorado.
That took off RVP for Huntelaar, and it worked out beautifully for him.
Sure.
Showed some major cojones there, and then did this today. This guy's got some horseshoes jammed somewhere.
I didn't like the fact that he started Depay, though. I thought he's been great as a sub, and I thought he looked pretty lost out there for much of the game, so I thought that was... weird, but if the Dutch go on to the final and or win it, I mean, we're going to look back at that for years and just say, that's the first time that was ever been done in a World Cup as well, where a keeper was substituted in the for a penalty shootout.
Do you think if he had some real options on the bench, some creative options, goal-scoring options, other than Huntelaar, who brought in a course, do you think he would have used that third sub on an attacking player before then?
I think he was preparing himself for the reality that we might not get it here. I don't think he was playing for penalties. I mean, I felt that the Dutch threw everything they had, minus the fact that they didn't have the usual creativity that has resulted in them
Dutch
scoring goals.
120 minutes.
I think that Van Gaal was quite, you know, he knew the cards that he had in his hand. He's got good cards, and at the end of it, that was what did it.
If I'm Van Gaal, I'm thinking, why didn't I negotiate my Man U deal after the World Cup?
I said we said the same thing, I think. We were discussing that you think his agent would get so... His agent's the one that's angry, probably not him.
Deals, Navas, Levante are going to get some real offers.
Well, apparently he's got a 10 million euro buyout clause, though.
Oh, really?
So it wouldn't be more than that.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And is this going to be one of those examples of a player having a great World Cup and just being... an average player outside of that?
Probably.
Yeah. He was great, though. He was the top-rated goalkeeper in Spain last year. So he's more than just, you know, a one-hit wonder, so to speak. Because he was great again today, wasn't he?
Oh, he was phenomenal.
If not for him, that would not have been a nil-nil.
Oh, they wouldn't have got out of the group if it wasn't for him.
When it went to the shoot, I really thought that Costa Rica were going to do it, because all those chances, and the Dutch had never won a World Cup game that had gone to extra time even. Right. You just thought, wow, this is going to be... you know, shock and crash. But in the end, I mean, because of the negative stuff, James, okay, I'll give you that. This is what we wanted to see, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you've got four heavyweights, and you've got two matchups that, you know, South America against Europe could go either way. Costa Rica would have been a nice story, but you could have put Argentina through that, I think, almost certainly. And this just makes it a perfect Final Four, really, in a lot of ways.
Four heavyweights in the context of this tournament, but let's be honest, there isn't a great team among them.
No.
Who stands out? They all have flaws. They've all had poor games. They've all been very inconsistent to get to this point, but that's what the good teams do, is they don't have to play their best to get there. Mm. So Germany, since the first game, we've seen four lackluster games. They weren't very good against France, but they get the job done.
But you say they weren't good against France, and I'll give that to a certain point. I thought they were very impressive, though, because there was never, at 1-0, I thought this game's done. They were so, it was vintage Germany, and not the Germany we've seen in recent years, where it was far more attacking and fun. It was like old school. They were just going up the channels. It was, I say defensive, but it was very organized.
Sure. And I think they learned,
you know,
from Algeria.
France couldn't break them down. Maybe, yeah. They were scared, like we said before. They were scared from the Algeria game. But they found that typical German stereotype, didn't they? And I thought France had no answers, who were quite disappointing.
And if they play that way against Brazil, who don't have Neymar and who don't have Thiago Silva anchoring the back, they're going to get that one goal in the first half and be able to sit back and do the same thing they did against the French.
Mats Hummels.
I'm already penciling them in.
Is he fit? Mats Hummels.
Are you fit?
Was that Tyler?
Yeah.
Martin Tyler. Yeah.
You should probably fill in the listeners here as to what you're talking about.
Sitting in the press conference room, Martin Tyler's at the back of the... Dobby and myself at the Champions League final last year. Martin Tyler's at the back of the room, and the Borussia Dortmund players were the only ones fielding questions in English. Or I guess they were, but without headsets.
Sure.
And sure enough, Martin Tyler, the first one to speak, and shivers on the back of your neck, or my neck anyway. I don't know about you.
Freaking nerds.
We're such losers.
It's hilarious. First question. Leo Messi or Ronaldo, who cares?
Simple question.
Martin Tyler.
Are you fit?
We didn't even meet him. Didn't even see him at that moment. Just could hear him.
When I was really starstruck was when Sir Alex walked into the room at the end. I don't think you were in there.
I think
you were getting, posts in the mix zone, and Sir Alex walked in and awarded Arjen Robben the man of the match.
Wow.
And I was like, holy crap. Like, this is...
That's when it hits you.
Is real.
That's funny. Yeah. We stood in the elevator with Lothar Matthäus.
Sure,
that was pretty cool.
Still can't believe we went. It's great. It's awesome.
Both of you shut up.
So angry.
So bitter.
Good stuff.
Did you and Sarah Davis have a pizza party that night, or what did you guys do for the thing?
Go to, what's that bar called across from GSQ there?
The library.
the Imperial Pub.
Imperial Pub
and watch the game after.
Man. I was working that day, unfortunately.
Moving on.
Yes.
What game were we on? Germany, France? Is
I'd rather
that where
freaking
we went
sit
to?
Beside Sarah Davis and you two idiots.
Well, obviously. Much better
I'll tell
looking.
You that much.
Yes.
No matter where you are, you're in your damn Champions League.
So
final.
Were France that good in this tournament? And then
I think so.
Now they finally came up against a good team and just didn't have their best? Or did we overrate France a little bit because of the tournament they'd had? But who did they really play? Let's be honest, right? They beat Honduras, they beat Switzerland, they drew Ecuador, and then, you know, they beat Nigeria. It was impressive the way they did it, but as soon as they came up against a good team, I mean, we sat here, Dunlop, and we both picked France to win that game.
We did.
Even though I had originally taken Germany to win it all, and I sat there watching that game, I said, what was I thinking?
It was like almost boys against men in many ways.
It was
a team of veterans against a team that isn't quite a team of veterans just
but
yet.
But in 2 years at home in France, look out. I mean, that team with Ribery back, and they have the young players coming through, and now the confidence, they're going to be a real force at home and have a real chance to win that in 2 years.
Do you think they bring Nasri back if he apologizes?
What,
well,
do you need
There's
him?
There's 2 years to figure it out, so you always think
Well, do you need him? I mean, let's be honest, you know, forget personalities and whose girlfriend he is and et cetera, et cetera. He's a really good player. And I think against Germany, they looked out of all ideas. And he would have made a difference, no doubt, had he been there. But is it worth the baggage? And I mean, I think his girlfriend's done him a lot of harm. Deschamps a proud man, and it's all about team for him. So I'll be surprised if he comes back. But if he grovels and apologizes, they brought Evra back, you know, and he was part of the ringleader, actually, of that horrendous experience before.
2 years is a long time. And I think that you'll see that, like, an evolution throughout that squad, and Didier Deschamps got the luxury of being able to mix that veteran presence with the youngsters coming through. And in 2 years on home soil, Paul Pogba and Rafa Varane might be talking about them as top five players in the world.
Yeah, how old's
at that point?
Nasri now, he's not old. Obviously, he's like 25, maybe.
Might be 25, 26.
Let me just wiki this.
Google machine.
Varane got bitched on that goal, though. I mean, that was an incredible header, really. I mean, he meant it.
And
not looking
so
at the net.
Shame,
and he's
so
been good, but yeah, that was tough. You know, I thought Sacco actually had a pretty good tournament. I don't rate him at all. I thought he was horrendous for Liverpool at times this year. I was worried about him. I thought Koscielny a better option, but he actually did quite well.
I mean, obviously, he wasn't healthy. I mean, he didn't play much as far as, you know, missed a couple of games. Couldn't play a full 90. But I thought it was pretty impressive,
yeah.
And I thought last year for Liverpool when he played, he was pretty decent. But he's so young, he's raw, he makes mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Nasri is 27. So in 2 years' time, you know, he's pushing 30. Maybe it's easy to say, you know what, no, thanks, bye.
A lot can happen in 2 years. Yeah, a lot can happen.
Very unlikable fellow. That's usually the case with the French from top to bottom. But as we discussed this time around,
quite like him.
There was very few weaknesses, I think, for them, top to bottom. And at the realistically, despite how well they played, that's where we would have expected them to lose.
It's a good tournament. Still a good tournament. They made the quarterfinal. They did what they were supposed to do in that group. They won it. They got a nice favorable draw in the round of 16. They played, you know, they didn't play that well against Germany, but they had a shot. I mean, losing 1-0 to Germany is nothing to be upset about. I think they can go home heads held high, way better than 4 years ago, and look forward to that 2016 tournament when they can, you know, maybe get back to the top again.
You think Schweinsteiger and Kedira is going to be the central midfield partnership now?
I think it has
Lamont
to be.
Right back?
I think it has to be. There's no way he can revert back from that because the format, the system, it was ideal. And I know Lam doesn't really maybe want to play there, but too bad.
Let's get to their opponent, shall we? Brazil, in that highly contentious tussle with Colombia 2-1. I really enjoyed it.
That was the best of the four games, I think.
You like it too, right? I know you're a dirty bastard too, that's why. You like that kind of play on the field.
Yeah.
But, you know, but it's true because there's big, you know, debate on Twitter. People saying, oh, it's awful and went all against what's right with the game. And that was a typical South American derby, wasn't it? It was nasty. Brazil knew they had to do that. Colombia, that they gave what they could, but in the end, a little bit inexperienced, and they couldn't handle it. And Brazil have to win ugly now. They were never going to win this playing Jogo Bonito, this entire World Cup. And now, especially without Neymar, they can still win it, I think, without Neymar.
It would be incredibly impressive. It would be an amazing achievement if they can win it without their best player and missing...
And Neymar.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe missing their best player, Silva, in the semis, and then missing Neymar, you know, for the last two. It would be an incredible accomplishment, and just the pressure amps up. But it's almost like this, they're going to have this huge rallying cry around it. The whole country is going to now be, you know, without Neymar, and almost there's that excuse if they lose, so that I don't think there'd be as much pressure.
I agree.
To say. There probably is, but you know, I thought they played their best game. The first half, I thought, finally, here we're seeing Brazil, right? And okay, we saw it in Cameroon, but I mean, the three of us and eight other guys could look good against Cameroon.
Probably not me.
The first half and getting the early goal settled them, and then they kept going for it. I thought that they were fluid. I thought the midfield was good. Colombia just, you know, couldn't really keep up, and you finally thought, okay, here it is. The last 15 minutes or so, you know, after the penalty, it got a little dicey, but overall, that was Brazil's best game, and it's just, it really is a shame about Neymar. It really upsets me because you want to see the best players there. Di Maria, same thing.
I think it's a sinking feeling.
It's really sad. It's sad.
You want to see the greatest players.
Sure.
And there's been quite a few stricken by injury before this World Cup and through this World Cup. We saw Di Maria today, which we'll get to shortly. But yeah, Neymar is like Messi going out, isn't it?
Yeah.
In many ways. A lot of ways.
He was the face of the World Cup. And, you know, I thought he played great as well in this World Cup as well. He'd done nothing wrong. He'd been their best player.
Mm-hmm.
But now they've got to change it. And they maybe continue the same style against Colombia. Colombia, you know, listen, I thought the hype machine was out in overdrive for Colombia. And, you know, they played really well. I mean, I was part of that. I thought they were great. I thought James Rodriguez, forget what he did goal scoring. In the second half, he stood up for that team.
Oh, did he ever.
For a young kid, inexperienced.
And a small guy.
He was throwing that team in his shoulders.
Easily the breakout star of the tournament. I know he was, you know, a pretty big player. He's a breakout star. But he's now become a household name where he was not even close to that coming into this tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. People the world round know who he is now. And it's, he plays it where? Monaco, as John Helm continually says.
I'm sure you've seen this too. People saying, oh, wow, wait for the big clubs to get him now. Like, do you know how rich Monaco is?
People don't get it.
Yeah, Dimitar Berbatov.
They had Radamel Falcao.
Yeah. Who's the former Barcelona guy that they have? He's their captain.
Abidal?
Eric Abidal,
he just signed with Olympiacos today.
Oh, did he?
Funny, I saw that on
It's funny how all these signings are kind of going on the radar now. We're just not even following it because we're so immersed in this
tournament. Yeah, that Luis Suarez character.
Yeah.
Well, you want to talk about Roy Keane, the Villa? Can we get in on that?
Mm-hmm. Maybe afterwards in the podcast next season, if there's going to be one, which there might be. Ooh, teaser.
All right.
What the hell was that on Hummus's arm, by the way? That bloody alien, the green goblin, or whatever it was.
Praying mantis.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah. It's one of the best rides at Cedar Point. You ever been to Cedar Point? Great theme park. You should get down.
Was that in the States?
It's in Ohio. Sandusky, Ohio. If you ever go down to Canton, Ohio, it's about an hour away from Cleveland.
Is that where Tommy Boy was set, Sandusky, Ohio?
Callahan Auto Parts? I think you might be right. I think it is Sandusky. Yeah, that's
great
right.
Movie.
Is it Jerry Sandusky, the guy that was arrested for all those?
Yeah,
that's true. No relation to Sandusky, Ohio.
Yeah,
we go off on tangents here.
We
deviate from the topic.
That's why all eight listeners love us. It's good.
I had a great line. What was it?
That's
Hummus.
Wasn't that great, actually?
Oh, yeah. Bugs.
Actually, no, wasn't that funny.
The thing on his arm. Come on.
Great line. Talking about Colombia. Watch the Brazil game, by the way. Another tangent. At a house party in a backyard with all Brazilians, my brother and I, and like all Brazilians.
Where did you find
them? It was amazing. A couple of my brother's buddies.
Really?
Yeah. It was so awesome.
Were the girls wearing yellow t-shirts?
Oh boy. Beautiful day. Just like such a good game outside. Beers flow. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was.
They know how to party, the Brazilians.
They're so nice.
No doubt. Such
good memories. Like, I'm always going to long live in the memory watching that game. It's just amazing. I'm really rooting for them now.
I spent.
They converted me.
Did you bring the girlfriend with you?
No, she was working.
Now that's why. It's
that's
so much
a shame.
Fun.
I made three trips to the Colombian bar downtown, Valdez.
You were just in like Cartagena or something.
Where's that a few months ago? It's a restaurant on King in Portland. Great food from the seams of it. But I tweeted one day, I think we were out for the Dutch game, and tweeted, where's the Colombian party at? Because my girlfriend and I had gone, and she said, well, let's watch them together, and maybe I'll get into the tournament. Okay, wicked. So found that place. Someone responded on Twitter saying, oh, I work here. We're going to have a bunch of people out. And it was a party, man.
Nice.
Every day. It was a great, great spot. And I didn't know there were so many South Americans in the city.
I'm never one to complain about my job. It's a great job. I really enjoy it, obviously. But I do miss a little bit about doing that.
Yeah,
sure.
I haven't done it for years.
I've got it because Tuesday and Sunday I'm working, so I'm not going to be able to have the full experience, and because they're all like, oh, Tuesday we're coming back here with the semifinals, you guys are a good luck show. I'm like, all right, well, I could maybe come not have a beer and then go to work.
Do you think tomorrow possibly you could speak to those people, the Brazilians, and we could bring a DVD of the game over and we could do the party all over again?
That would be good. Let's go Tuesday.
Yeah,
you're working.
Let's do it. Just show up.
Yeah, I'm going to go.
I'm working, yeah.
All right.
God damn it.
Losers.
And we should mention quickly, Thiago, on that note, Thiago being this wonderful center half, is also a dumbass. What a stupid yellow card.
Yeah.
What a
yeah.
stupid
Killer.
Yellow card.
Moronic from someone like that.
So who goes in? I assume Dante goes in.
Yeah.
No, I think Henrique, because he's a right-sided defender like Thiago is. Hmm. Whereas Dante plays on the left, right? Doesn't he?
Dante would have played on the left. Dante, you're right. I think it'll be, as well.
I mean, I think he's a better player. Maybe he can play that position, perhaps. Henrique. But I know Henrique is very much Napoli on the right side of that defense.
Interesting.
Hmm. We'll find out, I guess.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out.
Or maybe they've got three at the back like every other freaking team at this World Cup.
Fred, Hulk, and Joe, three-pronged attack up front.
God, good. Fred, Hulk, and Joe.
That's really too bad.
They're in trouble. Oh, man.
That is a...
Tell you what, though, Oscar... Reading some of the tactical geniuses, Michael Cox in particular wrote about this week, how Oscar at the Confederations Cup played in the number 10 spot.
Yeah.
And it allowed Fred to play much better because Neymar was coming in off the wing.
Right.
So he could hold the ball up and just, you know, lay it off for Neymar. Whereas at this World Cup, Neymar's at number 10. It's a little bit different, just very different for Fred. So
sure.
That made sense to me.
So maybe with Neymar not being there, maybe they utilize that and do that again.
So they're better. What I'm saying, they're better without Neymar.
Yeah. I think you might see that they... You know, I've penciled Germany in already, but I wouldn't be surprised if you know, that's the wrong decision. Brazil are capable. We just haven't seen it yet.
There's no favorite, is there, in any of these games? Who's a big favorite? There isn't. Argentina beat Belgium, of course, today, 1-0. Better by Argentina. Still not a great performance. Messi was just friggin' brilliant. They really got very defensive after he scored that goal.
It's funny because all these preconceived notions you have of these teams coming in with Argentina, we thought, oh, it's going to be shootouts. Can they win those games? And, you know, we saw it against Nigeria in the group. And all of a sudden it gets to the knockout stages and it's 1-0, 1-0. And their defense has been very good. They've been organized. Sabella, former Sheffield United player, very, you know, has them really nicely organized. And
who does that remind you of? Another Spanish-speaking nation? These 1-0 victories?
Man. Yeah, exactly.
In a lot of ways,
yeah.
You know, that Gonzalo Higuain started every game, scored once.
Yeah,
finally,
he was good today.
But he had been poor.
You know, Belgium, interesting because it's still a successful tournament for them?
Sure, absolutely, it is.
I mean, they won the group. They did what they had to do. They had a thrilling extra time against the States, and the building blocks are there. They just didn't really have that belief, did they? Same as you said with Germany, Charms, 1-0 and kind of lock it down. You thought they're never going to... Felt the same about Argentina. I never really felt that they were going to be in trouble, and Messi should have put it away with, you know, a couple minutes to go, but comfortable. And, you know, the fact that the defense is there, a solid footing. I think they are favorites against Netherlands because of how good that's been, and you're still waiting for maybe another breakout game from Messi, even though he's been phenomenal throughout, but one of those where it's like all you can watch on the pitch is Messi. I don't know if we've had that yet, so I think it's coming.
After five games, to me, Argentina are the best looking side. After this today, yeah, I think I rate them number one.
It's tough to argue.
You want to do the power picks?
Similar, I think they're so similar to Brazil, right? Until now, with Neymar out, because you know Brazil did kind of depend on some Neymar magic. As Argentina depend on Messi magic.
Yeah.
Both defensively okay, not great. Michelis came in and played actually pretty well today, I thought.
Yeah, I was surprised. I jokingly tweeted, like, good luck having him at the back. But he's let down City so much this year.
He was late in the season beside Kompany for Man City. He really was. He was very good. He was crap for the first 6 months. Well, that's unfair.
Just when he makes mistakes, they're glaring mistakes.
They're glaring. But
he's cut his hair now, though, hasn't he?
The thing is, we're talking about it, and we're in the heart of it right now, but... You know, it's not really how you get there. It's that you get there, especially to this. And I think the games you're going to remember are the semifinal and the final. And one of these four massive nations, you know, massive history is going to obviously win it. And we're going to reflect on, you know, overall the body of work. And it's going to be good. There's no champion that's ever a bad champion, especially in this tournament. We're not going to be, oh, well, Argentina won, but they weren't great. Or, oh, Brazil won, but... No, we're going to say, you know, this is the best team in the world, and they got there. And there's going to be some ugly ones, and there's going to be some grinded out ones, but it's all part of it. I mean, Spain in 2010, it was ugly.
Yeah.
It was ugly all the way, but so what? Who cares? That's how it has to be done sometimes.
This is what tournament football is all about.
That's what it's all about.
The important games, the big pressure games, become a lot closer than the group phase games.
And we
have a great group phase, have a great knockout phase.
Sure.
Knockout phase brings drama, group phase brings, you know, goals.
We talked about it. We were spoiled by the group stage and we kind of thought it would get tighter, and it's happened. It's gone to, you know, to form that sense. It's slowed down with the goals. The games haven't been as exciting, but we're still getting the drama like we saw with Netherlands, Costa Rica, and people are whining on Twitter, oh, this game stinks, this and that. Like, yeah, we got spoiled. Like, just enjoy it for what it is.
Sure.
We have four games left at this World Cup, and one's a third place game. Like, enjoy it.
And we're getting these moments like, you know, Van Gaal bringing on,
sure,
you know, a goalkeeper for the shootout. You know, the horrendous Zuniga knee in the back of Neymar. As awful as it was and it sucks, it's still a moment that you're going to remember. These game torment changing moments, which is what they are. Costa Rica hitting the bar. You know,
I already
forgotten
about Suarez, don't worry.
It's still forefront of my thoughts right now. Enjoy Barcelona. Barca, enjoy Suarez.
Oh, boy.
If they can get Alexis Sanchez back, that's the rumor.
Dirty.
I do wonder
how he'd adapt to the Premier League, though. I know he's all about pace, but it's so physical.
Yeah.
I do wonder about that. But he might be going to Arsenal still, right? Because they're saying that they are the favorites, the front runners for him.
To be honest, I think he leaves. He's going nowhere but Italy.
Really?
Yeah, the stereotypical, you know, going South back, American yeah. player well, prefers
he's been there, right?
that
he's
type
been
of
been
place.
Days,
yeah, and he seems to be, you know, when he made the move to Barcelona, he seems to be the person that, you know, likes not being recognized in the street, that like wants to be quiet.
I think now, though, is his chance to make the big money. He's coming off a really good World Cup,
yeah.
right, where he's you know, being seen as one of the stars of the World Cup, and it's fair to say he was great. And now his opportunity to get that massive pay packet. He got a lot of money at Barcelona, but he could go to Liverpool or Arsenal, and probably you won't get that same money at Juventus.
Mm.
Not
you don't
now.
Think so?
I don't think so.
Liverpool is going to throw that money?
Looking at transfers.
Money I know. Oh, yeah,
my
good point.
God, the next 6 weeks is just going to be awful.
Well, I can tell you about TFC and DC United because my phone's been blazing up. 1-1, Luke Moore equalized on the hour.
Wow.
Didn't he get sent off?
Yeah, he did.
That's rescinded.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
That was bad. That was bad.
I missed that as well. Paying attention
now
to
we're doing
World
MLS.
Cup stuff. Wow.
This is why we need a regular
in-game,
podcast.
In-game MLS even. Now,
that's very useful for the
wow.
listeners.
Yes. At the time, it was 1-1. So, you know, it's 8:33 Saturday evening. Here we are. All right.
All right. Listen, that's about it, boys.
Sweet. I got big Saturday
yeah,
plans.
We'll be back before the World Cup final. We hope. We think.
Sure.
Almost certainly it should be Wednesday
We'd
evening.
Like to.
Better energy today than last time. I was still hungover last time.
Oh, were you? I felt okay.
Yeah.
Not as good as the hour that nobody heard.
Yeah.
Still.
Best one.
That was the best one yet.
But yeah, I'm hoping that we'll keep this going when the new
What's
season
going on
begins.
With your hair over there?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just a disaster. Like, is that better?
It's a bad haircut at this
More
World
great
Cup.
Podcast you got listening like, now. Is it bad?
Huge
I need a
like,
haircut, man,
thing
like
going
badly.
On at the side.
It's a new style, rooster. And it's just far more maintenance than what I'm used
yeah,
to.
Yeah, it is. More real. Maintenance. But you're running your fingers through it like you don't have product in it, and it's not like someone has to sit.
I know. I've got a ripping headache right now, and I'm just giving my scalp a massage, and it's not affecting the hair too well.
No, you look like a three-year-old child or a drunken three-year-old child.
Nice.
All right, we're out of time. Semi-finals go Tuesday and Wednesday. Hope you enjoy them, and we'll talk about them on Wednesday. With luck, Thomas Dobby, Brendan Dunlop, I'm James Sharman. Cheers for listening.